Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Real Life Radio. I'm your host, Jerry Tarand. I'm here with my authentically beautiful co-host, Desiree Michelle. Hi, Des. How's it going?
Oh, great, Jerry. Thank you for that lovely introduction.
I'm feeling so blessed and so vulnerable and kind of split open today, and I know I was thinking about that before we had our little conversation before the show, and then I looked on Facebook to promote the show and saw your video. So I saw the video that you posted, the naked video, right? Like, no, everyone, don't get all excited. No, it was au naturel, as in no makeup. The naked video, get to Des's page. Anyway, she looks beautiful, and it was such an important thing for me to hear, and like you expressed, even for yourself to hear, to rewatch it and hear those messages that you said about just being okay with ourselves and not using makeup as a mask, or and also not judging. You know, we tend to judge kind of the opposite. So I kind of wanted to share a little bit about that, and our show is about really having that compassion for yourself and sharing some tools at this time that I really feel like the world has shifted so much. Like, everyone is feeling so much right now. And so we really are being, it's like this movement from our head to our heart, and it's so unfamiliar. Because what we've learned about mindfulness and how to control your thoughts and how to manifest and, you know, set goals and like very, very top heavy and important. But there's this whole other piece that people are so uncomfortable with, that emotional intelligence and being okay to feel exactly what they feel. And also, I've had some like really deep realizations today about the importance. Like, if you really want to know who you are, your emotions are such a powerful guide. They will show you exactly what's holding you back based on how you're feeling. Like, your anger is such an amazing thing. Even your shame. There's these other faces. There's this gold in all of our emotions. And so, I wanted to get into that and talk about these, you know, vulnerable feelings that we've been having with everything really coming to the surface to support us in living from a more truthful place. Like, that's why they're coming up, because they're coming up so we can finally see them and address them and be with them, and in that live our truth. So,
yay. Yeah. Yay. Oh, what a beautiful, well said. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm feeling, like I said, I'm feeling everything. I'm feeling a lot. So it should be a really good show. And I'm actually quite excited about even sharing some of those vulnerabilities and some of that shame that I experienced just this morning. So anyway,
yes, I love that. So just this morning, it's so fascinating. I've been having this, all these ups and downs. So like you're right up talked about, like, okay, so you've decided you're going to show up for yourself. You decided you're going to take those, you know, bold steps into the world. And then sure enough, so there's that, like what I mentioned in the last show with the uninformed enthusiasm. oh, I'm so excited, you know, and you launch out there, and then all the fear starts to come up, and you become aware of the fact that there is things to be afraid of and some that are not, and, you know, some are real and some aren't, right? But there's this, like, So I'm laying in bed last night, and I'm feeling, so I just came back from holidays, which is also this, like, earth-shaking kind of, you know, everything's different. And when you're on holiday, it's much more present because you don't have, like, you know, your system or your pattern to fall back on. So you're kind of, like, forced to be present, which is actually such a huge, beautiful gift. But I also realize how much time I spend planning and plotting my future, and that I was seeking comfort in having these plans and having it all organized before I take that step forward. And now I'm stepping forward continuously without a plan, and it feels like I have all of these inner messages that are like, this is crazy, like, you need to think this out first, you're just going to walk right off a cliff, and you're going to look so foolish, oh, the shame, you know, like, you're going to look like such an idiot, and you're going to fall on your face again, and everyone's going to point at you and laugh, and, you know, like, all of this stuff coming up, and it's just, it's so beautiful because, like you said, it comes up so that you can declare it a lie. You know, you can declare that that's not true. And that's where I think we can really take the, well, you know, your mindfulness and be like, I'm actually declaring that no longer true. I don't want to be shamed anymore. I don't want to shame myself. Even if other people out there, quotes, choose to shame me, I do not have to believe what they're saying. It doesn't make it true. And I was just sharing with you this morning about this belief system that prompted that video, and that sort of has been murking around in the corners of my mind. And I can't even remember exactly what happened, but I would have been in grade one or grade two. And, like, as soon as I think of it, I'm like, boom, I'm on the playground at the school. And I remember making this very conscious decision that said, it is completely and utterly unsafe to claim my own greatness, to claim that I'm attractive, to claim that I'm intelligent, to claim that I am funny, to claim that I am helpful, to claim that I'm anything positive. And I can't even remember what exactly happened, except that my interpretation of whatever happened was, I was watching one of my schoolmates get, like, shamed, like, publicly bullied, not physically, but, like, tongue-lashingly attacked for owning what I perceived as owning their own awesomeness. And so I was like, oh, my God, it is so not safe to publicly voice your own greatness, to publicly take ownership for your own beauty, to declare that you think you're attractive, or you think you're kind, or you think you're helpful. Like, don't do it, because the world, they will rise up and drag you down and take you down that notch and publicly shame the shit out of you for having the audacity to dare to go there. And it's like, whew.
Oh, my God, that makes me want to cry.
For a while.
Yeah, I'm sitting here and my eyes are welling up because it's true, right? I've felt that, and it's so sad. Mm-hmm. Like, how has that happened?
To have to wait.
Wow.
And you'll wait forever. You will wait forever. Because even if you get all that approval, and I do, man, Kevin drowns me in love and approval and cheerleads me on. And, like, man, that love, that man loves me. And I
interesting
still.
Interesting choice,
like,
of words. Drowns you.
Yeah.
In love and approval. I almost want to go.
Well, what I mean to say by that is, like, it is an overpowering wave, but because I haven't learned to surf my own version of that, I do sometimes feel like I'm drowning in it. I feel like it's
there.
I have to fight it because my own.
Yeah.
I have so much self-doubt, and I'm afraid that if I believe him, then something horrible is going to happen to me. You know, if I believe that for myself, something terrible will happen to me, including he might take away his approval if I start doing it for me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
So there's lots. There's so much. And it's so, like, and wow, I want to get out there in the world and coach people to step into their greatness. But I'm like,
I need to work through this because I'm sure that other people feel the same way. And it's like, in moving through this, man, I want to free us from that shit. Like, we are meant to shine,
so in a way,
every single one of us. Yeah. Like,
it's like this big fear of being alone, right? So even you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't, right?
Yeah.
You feel alone. And then when you do start to love yourself and approve of yourself and give yourself that which you need, there's another fear, right? The same
yeah.
one of being alone, of being rejected. So, you know, being like, wow, in not shining your light, like you're rejecting yourself. In shining your light, there's this fear of mass rejection, really, and that being alone, but that maybe you won't even care because you're giving it to yourself anyway. And so then there's this whole separation disconnect. I don't need any more relationships. Like, what's going to happen to the world if we all love ourselves? No one's going to get married. We're not going to have kids. We're all just going to, you know, just love. Like, what a different looking planet will that be?
Well, we may still choose
to
do all those things, but we won't get married and have kids to be loved, but rather
because
it's this expression of love. And I think that that's the idea. I think that's like the goal is like, there's my utopian vision of the world is we're so madly in love with ourselves and we're just gushing, like flowing that love towards each other, not because we need to be approved of or we need to be loved. You know, we're not doing it to earn anything. We're doing it because it's just this natural, like, you know, like a river has to flow. It's just its beingness is to flow. And I think that that's what self-love, like, I get that intellectually that that's what will happen, but there's still a part of my self that fears that that's just a nice thought, but that's not what will happen. What will happen is I will be the only one that thinks I'm pretty awesome, lovable, terrific, and wonderful. And the rest of the world will abandon me for having the, and then what? Now I'm alone and I can't serve anyone because no one wants to be anywhere near me because I'm this bizarrely self-loving individual that cannot be connected to because I'm so whole unto myself.
Yeah, isn't it crazy, that self-talk? And, you know, and it's exactly the opposite. That's the only way you'll be able to serve.
Yeah.
Right? It's from that authentic place of being who you are, expressing who you are, you know, and being who you are is love. And I mean, I can't wait until the world gets into that overflow and it's happening. It's like people are really
happening.
Starting to embrace themselves. And one of the things that you brought up so many different things that I'm like, oh yeah, that. I love listening to you because there's just so many places that we can go with this. And I mean, you talked about the shame earlier on and worrying about, you know, others shaming you and saying that I don't have to believe my self-talk. I don't have to believe the inner critic that keeps piping up in this beautiful expression of being who you are and stepping into this new world of truth and expression and living your passion and your purpose, how everything is coming to the surface, but you don't have to believe it. But what I do want to add to that I've really come to realize in a very deep and profound way today is how important it is to hear that.
Mm.
So, and to not push it away. I don't have to believe, you know,
yes.
That's not true. Because if you did that to a child, right? Nope, that's not true. Really, it would get louder. And so what I'm realizing is the very first step and the most, like really the most important step is actually to have in that self-compassion conversation is having self-compassion for your inner critic.
Love
because
that.
And recognizing, like, and this is so key, like, oh my God, recognizing that beautiful inner critic loves us so much and it's coming from a place of genuinely wanting to keep us safe and wanting us to not be rejected and that desire to be loved and to fit in. And so really honoring and thanking it when those things come up and just saying, you know, yeah, like I hear you. And because really until you hear it, it's going to just get louder. And so we need to hear it. We need to have compassion for it. And we need to actually like embrace it, just like all our parts. And I'm starting to feel this like on a much different
Yay.
Level. Like, you know, as much as I'm like the parts of you that are hardest to love or the parts that need it the most, and, you know, all of these things. And I do practice that. That whole self-compassion piece and having compassion for those parts. And even, like, even the shame and the guilt and the anger, like, recognizing them. Like, that's part of this mindfulness movement, is becoming aware.
Yes.
And being able to catch yourself and feel what you feel and identify, okay, what emotion is this that I'm feeling? And if it's anger, there's a reason for anger, and it's beautiful. Like, wow, thank God for anger, because that's what helps us know where our boundaries are and set them in a healthy way. And so it is about living our truth and getting to know ourselves. And thank God for jealousy. You know, jealousy will
mm-hmm.
show us, like, what is it that we desire and what, and that we are important and what we want is important. And, you know, will assist us in developing better relationships. And, you know, and sadness, thank God for sadness, because we know when we feel that, that there's something we need to let go of.
Or,
you know, and even shame and guilt.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, here we are designed with this perfect system, this perfect heart that has all these emotions that can so easily, like, it can take off all the pressure off of our heads that thinks it has to figure everything out and keep us safe. And, oh my God, it's working in hyperdrive and all this anxiety, because, of course it has anxiety because it's working alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the more we can invite our heart in this perfect system that's just, like, easily showing us, well, here's your stuff. How do you feel? Like, how are you really feeling? And why do you think you're feeling that way? And what's needed here, right? And so, like, you know, the guilt, there's probably something that you need to forgive. Something you need to let go of, something, you know, and shame is designed to keep us living our truth. Like, if we get that flush of that heat and that shameful
yes.
feeling, then it's likely because, you know, and there's shame that's been put onto us, right, that isn't even ours and it's not authentic. And then there's this authentic shame where it's like, that isn't what, in, that is not in alignment with your morals and your values and what's important. And so shame can help you define, like, yeah, is, you know,
mm-hmm.
if I do this, if I, or have what I have done in the past that I feel shame around, was it in alignment with my values, with my morals, or was that just something that was put on to me that was shamed, that isn't true? And so all of it, I'm just really getting that we need to have compassion for the inner critic, for even for the shame, for the guilt, and not only compassion, but gratitude. And then
totally
that will free us. That's the stuckness.
And what a joy to be able to live what I want to call real time or in the now. I mean, that's just used so much, I think it's meaningless to people, but like live real time, like when I don't have to pre-plan everything with my head, when I can just keep that, call my inner ear open to my heart, it like you say, like, oh my gosh, it totally tells me turn left, turn right, speak up, stay, you know, it's your turn to listen. Now it's your turn to share. Like, I don't need to think about it. I need to feel about it. And it's so mm-hmm. liberating, because I have so pre-planned my whole life. Like, I've watched it from this director's point of view as I try to carefully manage my image, carefully manage how I come across, carefully manage how much I express of my emotions and to who and under what circumstances. And to start to give myself permission to just let my heart, my feelings guide me and use my brain to see, because sometimes I get, you know, I feel rage. It doesn't mean I need to act on it, but I do, like you said, I need to compassionately, wow, that's a, you're feeling pretty pissed off right now, sweetie. Like, what's happening? Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, you're like this beautiful child that's just, that needs your attention because it's helping you. It's helping you. It's guiding
yeah.
you. Like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my heart is right now is just feeling so happy It's like, yeah, you're finally getting it at a different level. You, as much as I've talked about the emotional guidance system, and I mean, for years and years and years, there's a connection that happened today.
Wow.
With the self-compassion that has, that
I've never felt.
And I've said the words, I love and trust my heart. But I've, now it's like, oh my God, I'm actually doing it. I'm loving and trusting my heart in such a way that I'm so appreciative for my anger, for my shame, for my guilt, for everything. I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, we're so amazing, truly, our systems and the way this is set up. What the heck? No kidding. The power, no wonder we've been like living, you know, the powers that be that don't want us to tap into this heart-centered way of living, because it truly is completely, it has the ability to completely free us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my God.
Wow, Jerry.
And heal, heal everything, everything. This is how you heal yourself. You know, just opening to your heart, to your emotions, loving every little piece, you know, and I'm feeling it like I've never felt it, that how much that is the answer, self-love and self-compassion and loving the inner critic so, so much. Like, you know, it was the fight, flight, and freeze mechanism that we so needed in the past. And just to say, you know, but there's another way, because we think it's motivating us to get better. Mm-hmm. And to be okay, like, okay, by kicking our ass, right? Like, what's wrong with you? Oh, my God, why can't you do anything right? And it's, you know, we've been using that for way too long as a means of motivating. Most of us have clued in, well, that's not how you motivate your children. We're you know, we've clued in that, and we don't use it so much with others, but we still have this weird default that somehow we think we need to kick our own ass.
Default?
Yeah. There we go. There's our next radio show title.
You know what, though, so beautiful is there, it is shifting. And you know what? We did live in a culture, in a society where, you know what, that kid that, like, I can't, like I said, I can't remember the exact scene on the playground, but we did live in a culture where, you bet, it was not safe to own your own magnificence. That's just a truth. But we don't live mm-hmm. in that culture anymore. Like, we have made enough of a collective upgrade. We have. And I'm declaring it. If anyone's wondering if we have, we have. And the more of us that...
We have.
Yeah, and the more of us that resonate with that, the more of us that voice that into the world, like, we are no longer living in a hurtful, attacking, shameful paradigm. We are, all of us, moving forward into one that's supportive, loving, celebratory, open, and sharing. That is the, it is the new reality. And the more that we all collectively open to it, the more we'll see it to be true, because it is already true. Like, it, I just know, I mean, don't you feel that? Like, I just, like, I feel like this,
I totally
drum
do.
Is like,
there's so much
energy
on this show and with this topic.
Oh.
I'm so grateful. I'm just, it's time, right? It really is.
It is. Yeah.
And so I just keep breathing into my heart. My heart's like, you know, it's like doing this little thing, right? This little excitement dance. Like, yes, finally, I'm feeling it this time.
Oh, and so happy, grateful. Oh.
You know, just, yeah. And so I was listening to an audio this morning on self-compassion and kind of the steps. And one of the, I just wanted to share, so it was this Dr. Kristen Neff, and she has kind of like a self-compassion step-by-step. And so I wanted to share the tool that she shared, because I think it's super simple and very powerful.
All right, let's hear it.
And so this is something that you can do as a moment by moment practice. And so really being mindful of whatever's coming up for you. And it's also something you can do just as kind of a meditative practice. So you can think of something in your life that you're struggling with. And so I just invite everyone to think about something in their life that they're judging themselves for, that they've been really struggling with lately.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you become aware of that, or when you catch it in your day-to-day life, the first step is to take a compassionate posture. And the way to do that, she suggests, is just to put your hands over your heart. And then feel that warm response of your hands, because that right away will release the oxytocin and will calm, just like a child, right? So while you're thinking about mm-hmm. the struggle, feel the warmth of your hands on your heart. And then just take a moment to say to yourself, this is a moment of suffering. It's a part of the shared human experience. I'm not alone. This is okay. It's normal. And this is really hard right now. So just recognizing. And then may I be kind to myself in this moment. May I give myself the compassion I need. I'm here for you. And that's it.
Wow.
So basically, recognize it. Take that compassionate posture. And sometimes people will, you know, you'll like rub your arm or your cheek, or just, you know, that motherly love. Like, I'm here, sweetie, and I know this is hard for you. And then you just, and recognize it as a moment of suffering. So define it. And you can even look at the emotion like, wow, you're feeling really angry right now. I know this is hard. And remembering that it is part of the human experience. It's normal. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing that needs fixing is key. And then just saying those words that you, like the most loving, kind mother that you can be for yourself, or father or friend. We really do need to speak to ourselves like we're someone we love. But yeah. Just simple and beautiful, and and our heart really needs that, needs to hear that so it can start to feel safe to open. And when you open your heart, you're opening your heart to, when you open your heart to yourself finally and embrace everything that you feel, then you can finally have those relationships that you know are possible, like that depth and that, you know, that really deep, beautiful connection. Because yeah. until you've opened your heart to yourself, you really can't open your heart to another. It's not safe. But when you have a beautiful friend like you that always has your back, like yourself, it's okay. It is safe. And even if they can't receive that at this time, and even if they reject you, supposed rejection, it's just because they're still... not, they still haven't opened to themselves. That's all. That's all it is. It's not about you.
Wow, that's quite profound. That struck a chord just now.
Thank you. Yeah, so, I mean, beautiful. There's so many tools, and I have a heart-to-heart healing circle tonight. I'm hoping to share more about this self-compassion, because it's really hit hard how important this is to have compassion, number one, for our inner critic, and number two, for every part of us, so that we can have that with other people and start to dissolve the barriers between us and everyone, and see each other clearly for the first time through the eyes of love. So thank you, everybody. It's already that time. And thank you, Des.
Oh
my gosh, you are such a blessing in my life. And I'm so glad that you said, okay, we're doing this show. Because let me tell you, I'm totally supported. All my stuff is coming up, and I'm more grateful than I've ever been for that stuff. Showing me, you know, what's needed. Then what do I need to still love in myself? What do I need to still let go of? Where do I still need to set boundaries? Like, wow, so many emotions. So have a lovely day, everyone. Love you all. Love yourself. And we'll see you next week or talk to you next week.
Sounds awesome. Thank you so much, Jerry. Beautiful, beautiful show.
Woohoo! Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Yeah.